Now, if you have your Bible with us this morning, turn with me once again, please, to the portion that we read together in the book of Psalms, in the Psalm number 23. Now, I'm sure that you're familiar with the fact that as you turn to the book of the Psalms of David, there are different kinds of Psalms to be found in the 150 Psalms that we have in this wonderful book of the Bible. First of all, you'll be familiar with the fact that there are what we call historical Psalms. And that is, there are Psalms that take us right back into the life of the psalmist David. For example, if you read Psalm 51, you'll find that that's one of the great historical psalms of David, written by David after he committed sin and repented again in that wonderful psalm. Again, if you read through the psalms, you'll find that there's not only historical psalms, but also there are prophetical psalms. Psalms that not only take us into the past, but psalms that take us into the future. For example, if you look at Psalm 22, you'll find that the 22nd Psalm is a prophetical psalm, a psalm that takes us into the future and indeed portrayed the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll remember in the 22nd Psalm, that prophetical psalm, and how that we are brought to stand at the foot of the old rugged cross. And it's there that we hear the God-man upon the tree when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so first of all we have historical psalms, and then we have prophetical psalms. But then you will find that there's not only historical psalms and prophetical psalms, but throughout the book of Psalms we have devotional psalms. That is, that are psalms of praise and thanksgiving, as David shares with us the goodness of God and what the Lord meant to him. Now, when you come to this 23rd Psalm, you will find that it's one of the great devotional psalms of the Bible, when David is speaking about the Lord and he's sharing with us what the Lord means to him. And I think that that's always the characteristic, that's always the mark, that's always the desire of a man or woman who really knows the Lord. They always want to share the Lord with others. Do you remember in John chapter 4, we have the story of the woman of Samaria, and how she got saved, and she was longing for something that would meet her need. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he gave her a drink of the water of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved her and satisfied her and met her need. And then immediately after she met the Savior, she went back in to the village of the Samaritans, and she said, "Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And as soon as she drank of the water of life, my, she was witnessing for Christ, and she was sharing the Savior with others. You know, beloved, this morning, if the Lord is really your shepherd, if he's really your Savior, then there should be that love of Christ within your heart that burns within your soul. There should be that fire and seal of evangelism that wants you to share the Savior with others. You know, some years ago, there was a famous missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. And C.T. Studd once said that salvation is like smallpox. You can't help giving it to others. And I believe that's true. My, when the Lord saves you, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And there should be that desire to share the Lord with others. And so as you read this 23rd Psalm, you will find that right throughout the Psalm that David is sharing with us what the Lord means to him. I want you to notice some wonderful things from David's wonderful psalm. Now you'll notice first of all that David speaks of a wonderful relationship. That's the first thing. David speaks of a wonderful relationship. Right there in the opening verse of that psalm, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That speaks to me of a wonderful relationship. David was able to look up to the Lord, and he was able to say by way of testimony, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's a wonderful relationship here between him and the Lord. He knew the Lord as his shepherd. Now, you'll remember here, of course, that the shepherd spoken of is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came. And you remember in John's Gospel how he made that tremendous statement, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And this is the reason why Christ, the Lord of glory, came from the hills of eternity and stepped into time and died upon Calvary's cross, that men and women might be saved that I might be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. If you look in Psalm 22, you'll find in the first verse that the Lord says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe the answer to that great question is given in Psalm 23 and verse 1, that Jesus Christ was forsaken on the cross when he died in our room instead, that you and I, through his death as the good shepherd, might come to know the blessing of eternal life. Oh, I wonder this morning as we look down into the hearts of this congregation, my, are those in the meeting this morning in our service, and you can't say, the Lord is my shepherd. You know nothing of this wonderful relationship. You know, some years ago, there was a young couple got married, and they bought a beautiful home. They decided to have a house, a warming party, and invite along a number of their friends to come and to share with them the joy of their new home. You know, into the home, they invited an actor, and they invited also the minister of their church. And during the course of the evening, someone said, what about getting the actor to recite something for us? And you know, the actor said, well, what would you like me to recite? And the actor stood up and he recited the 23rd Psalm. He went through the 23rd Psalm and he repeated it perfectly. You know, the people applauded and they thought it was tremendous, and everybody clapped together. Then someone said, well, we've heard the actor, but what about getting the minister to say the 23rd Psalm? You know, this old minister stood to his feet, and he loved the Lord. My, he could say from the depths of his soul, the Lord is my shepherd. He stood and he repeated and recited the 23rd Psalm. But you know, when he came to those words, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My, nobody clapped, and there was a silence in the room. It was almost an embarrassment. You know, the actor stood up again and he said, well, you know, the difference between the minister and myself is this, that I only know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. And you know, beloved, this morning, it's possible to be a Presbyterian and to love the book of Psalms and to know the Psalms from A to Z and yet not know the shepherd himself. I wonder this morning, have you had that blessed experience? Yes, that I not only know all about Jesus Christ, but thank God I know him personally. I met him at the foot of the cross, and it was there I found him as my Savior and Lord. This is where the Christian life begins, by this wonderful relationship of coming to know Christ as your Savior. Then I want you to notice that there's not only a wonderful relationship, but the Word of God goes on to tell us that there's a wonderful refreshment. Look at verse 2, and he begins to tell us, the psalmist, how the Lord leads him on. And he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And here's the second thing in this psalm, not only a wonderful relationship, but there's a wonderful refreshment. And David begins to tell how the shepherd leads him on in the Christian life. You know, beloved, when we get saved, when we meet Christ at the cross, that's only the first step in salvation. But there's got to be that going on, that growing in grace and following on hard after the Savior. And so the psalmist tells us here of the provision that the Lord has made that we might follow after him. He speaks of the refreshment that the Christian needs if he's going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, in this refreshment in verse 2, that the psalmist says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I would suggest to you that the green pastures speak to us of the Word of God. That's the first thing. That the first thing that we need, if we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to overcome the devil, is the green pastures of feeding upon the Word of God. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus taught us this during his time of temptation in the wilderness? And the Savior said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, beloved, just as we need food for our bodies, we need food for our souls if we're going to develop and mature in Christ. and in the things of God. And I find, sad to say today, and I'm sure it's no different here in the United States of America, that there's many Christians get saved, they come to know the Shepherd, but they never seem to get into the green pastures of God's Word. And like the Corinthian believers, they remain babes in Christ, and there's not that going on with the Lord. Do you remember what Peter's saying in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 2? He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And you can only grow as a Christian as you meditate and feed upon the Word of God. You know, some time ago I was asked to visit a hospital in the north of Ireland. There was a hospital for mentally retarded children. You know, it was the home of a child of a well-known politician in Ulster. I remember going into that hospital and meeting his son, and he was a boy of about 22 years of age. And you know, something had happened at the time of his birth, and the boy's brain didn't develop, and he remained a child. Physically, he was a young man of 22 years of age, but mentally, he was only a child of about 2 or 3 years of age. You know, as we went into that hospital, I was with that politician and watched him putting his arm around his son and playing with him. And you know, that politician, that dear Christian, my, he loved his son with all his heart. But you know, he was heartbroken because of the fact that his son, his child, had never grown up, had never developed to enjoy all that God had for him. And you know, beloved, one of the heartbreaking things in fundamentalist Bible-believing Christians for pastors to have to witness is to see Christians, men and women, who have been saved for years, and yet they've never advanced in the things of God, and they remain spiritual babes in Christ Jesus. Is that not an indication that we're not abiding in the green pastures of God's Word, and we're neglecting God's provision for our souls? Oh, beloved, if you're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, then learn to feed upon the living Word of God. But then I want you to notice also in verse 2 that He not only speaks of the green pastures, but thank God He tells us concerning the still waters. Now, I believe that water in the Word of God is symbolic, as one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in the book of Isaiah and also in Ezekiel, God promises to pour water upon him that is thirsty. And if you follow it through in John's Gospel, you'll find again that water in the Bible is a symbol so often, not only of the Word of God, but also of the Holy Spirit Himself. And this is the second thing that we need as Christians, if we're going to go forward with the Lord, is to learn to live in the Spirit. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you remember how that when Paul was writing that epistle to the Ephesians, and how he told them not to be drunk with wine, wherein his Acts says, but he went on to say, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And the thought is there, keep on being filled every day of your life, of your existence, with God the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, he was writing to the saints at Ephesus. He wasn't writing to the minister just. He wasn't writing to the elders, but he was writing to every believer. Beloved, we need not only the green pastures of God's Word, but oh, how we need the Lord to lead us beside the still waters, and day by day be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might live for the Lord. Remember reading about D.L. Moody, the famous American evangelist. And you know, in one of the great cities here in America, they were considering at a meeting of ministers, should they bring D.L. Moody to that particular city for a gospel campaign or not. And you know, one old critic of Moody got up and he said, well, he said, tell me this. He said, does D.L. Moody have the monopoly over the Holy Ghost? And he was against D.L. Moody. And you know, one old believer got up on his feet and he said, "No, sir, Dale Moody doesn't have the monopoly over the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost has the monopoly over D.L. Moody." And that was the secret of his success. And this is why he became known as the man who moved the multitudes and led thousands, not only in America, but in Britain and Ireland, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, beloved, today we need not only the Word of God and the green pastures of the Scripture of truth, but oh, that God would teach us what it is to live in the Spirit, that God would fill His people with the power of the Holy Ghost, that we'll live and witness for Him. I think there's a danger today in fundamentalist churches, and while we're against the charismatic movement and that which is false and spurious and is of the devil, we can neglect and go to the other extreme entirely, and that is, we can neglect the Holy Ghost altogether. Oh, I wonder this morning, believer, have you experienced that promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye shall be witnesses unto me? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so often today we try to witness for the Savior, and we accomplish nothing, because it's not in the power and dependence upon the Spirit of God. And so David speaks not only of a wonderful relationship, but there's also a wonderful refreshment as he goes beside the still waters and the green pastures. Then I want you to notice something else in verse 3, and you'll find that there's a wonderful restoration. You know, this verse brings great encouragement to my heart. For David says here, "He restoreth my soul." And I don't think that David, when he penned these words, was a little boy sitting on the hillside of Bethlehem. But rather, I believe he was looking back over the pages of his life, and he was looking back with regret. He could remember that time in his life, perhaps when he had committed sin with Bathsheba, when he had fell into adultery, and then he had helped plan the murder of her husband. And David, you remember, for almost a year, was out of touch with God. And then Nathan the prophet came in and he said, "David, thou art the man." And he exposed David's sin. And then David was brought to the place of brokenness before God, and he got down before the Lord and he cried as the King of Israel, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And the joy of God's salvation, my, flooded into his soul again, and he was restored unto the Lord. And you know, just as the sheep have a nature that leads them astray, so in the believer there's the old carnal nature, there's the flesh, and we have to war against the flesh that continually would lead us astray out of the paths of righteousness. I remember one occasion being asked to go to a mental hospital in the north of Ireland to see a dear woman. I went into this hospital and she was sitting there, and you know, she was completely out of her mind, and she was just sitting there pulling her face and pulling her hair. And you know, as I looked at her, I could have wept, and I knew her before this had happened to her, and she was a lovely Christian lady. And I remember sitting down, and I couldn't speak to her. Her mind was so gone, she couldn't have an ordinary conversation. And I sat down beside her and put my arm around her, and I said, "Lord, whatever it is, Lord, this is the work of the devil. Lord, cover your child by the power of the precious blood, and help her at this time." I remember going back into the mental hospital on several occasions, and eventually God began to answer prayer. This dear woman began to come back to her senses again. Then one day she opened up and she said to me, "Pastor," she said, "something terrible has happened. God has turned his back on me." I said to her, "Well, what has happened?" And she said, "Pastor, I fell into sin." And she said, "I've committed adultery." And she says, "God wants nothing to do with me." And you know, I sat down with her in tears in my eyes and the love of Christ in my heart. And I said to her, "That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." I pointed out to her heart that if you'd only get back to the blood of Jesus Christ, my heart, if you'd only claim cleansing, the peace of God would come to her heart again. You know, there she just knelt and she said, "Lord, cleanse me afresh in the blood of the Lamb." And you know, she was restored to her right health and peace of mind. And today she's serving the Lord and she's going on with Him. Ah, beloved, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous." And perhaps there's a believer here this morning, and it's not perhaps some vile sin like adultery that has got you out of the will of God. Perhaps it's something else known only to the Lord and yourself. Thank God there's restoration for the child of God, and the Lord can restore to us the years that the locusts have eaten. They can bring us back into the family and into the blessing of God again. But then I want you to notice something else, and I think this psalm is very honest and true to life. For David speaks not only of a wonderful relationship and a wonderful refreshment and a wonderful restoration, but look at verse 4, and you'll find that there's a wonderful reassurance. Here's what perhaps one of the strangest verses in the whole of the Bible. And David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And here David shares with us the valley experience of life. Now you'll remember that he told us there in verse 3 that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And it's important to remember that the Lord not only leads us in the paths of righteousness, but sometimes in His providence He'll lead us into the valley of the shadow experience. Remember in my own church back home in the north of Ireland, there was a young couple got saved, and I had the joy of winning them both for the Savior and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, one night about 2 o'clock rather in the morning, the telephone rang and I answered the phone. And on the other end of the phone there was this young husband, and my, he was crying. And he said to me, "Pastor, can you come quick to the children's hospital?" And I said, "Brian, what's wrong?" And he said, "It's little Stephen. He's only got 3 hours. He's only got, rather, 8 hours to live." You know, I was absolutely stunned. I didn't know what to say. I remember saying, "You just be there and I'll be up shortly." Put the phone down, get dressed, and made my way in the darkness of the morning to the hospital. Went down and sat beside that mother and father. And there they were in the valley experience. The day before, their little boy, 3 years of age, my, he had been playing about. Then they thought he had just a little cold. And they called a doctor out, and the doctor said, "This child has got a deadly disease, and there's no known cure, and in 8 hours the child will be dead." I remember sitting beside that young couple, and you know, it was the longest hours of my life as we sat beside that child, and the doctors fighting an impossible situation, trying to save the child. And there I was down in the valley with that mother and father. I've got to confess, I said to myself, "Lord, why did you let it happen? Would it not have been better, Lord, that Stephen had never been born, for a mum and dad to go through the agony of seeing their little child taken away from them through sickness?" And I remember sitting with them and praying with them, and 8 o'clock came, and that morning, and the little child had passed from this scene of time. It was taken up into heaven, right into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that mother and father were heartbroken. And I kept saying to myself, "Why, Lord, why did you permit it?" But you know, the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. And God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." And then this young couple discovered in the valley experience that it was there that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. You see, in verse 4, we find that David is talking to the Lord, and he takes his eyes off the situation of the valley, and he looks to the Lord and he says, "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Verses 1 to 3, he's talking about the Lord. Oh, but when the valley experience of life comes, he's talking to the Lord. And you know, beloved, I've found that those Christians whose lives really count for God, like the psalmist David, the man after God's own heart, in every one of their lives there's been a valley experience. where Jesus himself drew near to find that he was the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star, and he was the one whose grace was all sufficient. Ah, brother, sister, in the service this morning, maybe you're going through the valley experience. Oh, there's a word from the psalmist for you this morning. Thank God you can say, I will fear no evil, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then I want you to notice something else in verse 5, and it's this, that we find that there's not only a wonderful reassurance in the valley, but in verse 5, there's a wonderful rejoicing. For David says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And here's a wonderful rejoicing. David's rejoicing in the fullness and the goodness of God. You'll notice in verse 5 that he speaks of a table, he speaks of a cup, he speaks of oil. And it's in verse 5 that David is rejoicing in the fact that all he needs is provided by the shepherd. In verse 1 he said, I shall not want. And he doesn't want for a table, he doesn't want for oil, he doesn't want for any good thing. The shepherd provides everything. You know, beloved, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian and to be able to rejoice in the fact that we have not only a Savior who saves, but we have got a shepherd who supplies our every need, and we don't lack for any good thing. Remember when I was a student in Bible College in Scotland, there was a boy there by the name of Paul de Kock. He was a Dutch brother and a brother who loved the Lord, and he left a little church in Holland. They couldn't support him. Just a small little assembly. But he took the step of faith and he asked God to meet and supply his every need. And he came there to the college there in Scotland in Glasgow. And I remember one morning Paul testifying in the meeting how God had met his need. And he said that he reached the stage that he had no money. And because he had no money, he had no means to buy soap. Now, it's a terrible thing to have no soap and to wash yourself. But Paul had reached a stage where he had no soap. And I think even for the sake of the fellowship, my, we would have given him all the soap that he needed. But you know, Paul, he got down on his knees and he said, Lord, I'm not going to ask anybody. He said, Lord, you promised to supply all my needs. Lord, supply the soap. And he got down and he prayed there in that Bible school. Lord, you send the soap. And you know, away over in Holland, the young people's fellowship there were meeting together. They knew nothing about Paul. And at that time in Holland, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck jokes were the whole rage at that particular time. And the young people got together and they said, well, wouldn't it be fun, wouldn't it be something to cheer Paul up in Bible school if we sent him a box of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck soap? And old Paul, he postman came with a parcel and he opened it up and there it was. And God had answered prayer, and I mean it reverently, in the form of Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. And old Paul got up in the fellowship, and my, he was rejoicing. And he said, brethren, God has met me. And my, while we laughed together, we rejoiced with them that rejoiced. My, there was tears, because we could say, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Not only the hairs of our head are numbered, but even the very soap God can supply and meet your every need. Oh, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. A wonderful rejoicing. The Lord in verse 5 supplies everything. But then finally, in our time is gone, I want you to notice how the psalmist closes. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that speaks of a wonderful residence, doesn't it? My, as David looks back, he can say, yes, God has been good to me. But as he looks forward, my, the best wine is yet to be. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A wonderful residence, because he knew Christ as his Savior. And you know, beloved, those who know Christ in life as the Good Shepherd, and those who know Christ in life as the Great Shepherd in the valley experiences of life, thank God some of these days we're going to know him again as the Chief Shepherd when he comes again. For he has said, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Remember going into a home of an old believer, he was dying. It only a matter of hours to go before it was to be absent from the body at home with the Lord. Do you remember this old believer? He lifted himself up on the bed and on the pillow. He looked at me and he said, Stanley, I'm going home. I'm going home. My, like the old shepherd, he could say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He was going home. Why? Because he knew the Lord. Thank God for a salvation that not only takes away our sins, for a Savior who not only meets our needs day by day, but oh, thank God for Christ in us, the hope of glory, that beyond the grave, beyond the valley, experiences of life, we know that someday we're going to be with the Lord and we're going home. Oh, I wonder this morning, can you say from the depths of your heart, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, thank God I'm saved this morning. Wouldn't it be wonderful this morning that even in this morning's service, if you're here and you're not saved, that you came and you put your faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Again, perhaps there's some backslider. And thank God there's restoration for you. The Lord can restore unto you the joy of salvation. Perhaps there's some believer and God knows you're going through a difficult time. Ah, remember this morning, the one who gave the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, lo, I am with you always. Take encouragement this morning from the old shepherd's psalm. May the Lord write it upon each of our hearts.